Hey, I'm Michaela Lafrac, the host of Vermont Edition. The podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Happy listening. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. Today on the show, we are going to hear three conversations that all fall at the intersection of the arts and the news. First, a documentary film, then an arts event, and then a book. Later in the hour, we'll speak to a director and an astrophysicist about a new eclipse-themed piece that's debuting at the Highland Center for the Arts in Greensboro tomorrow. Then we'll hear from a New England author, Amy Brady. Her new book, Ice, looks at the unexpected ways that ice has transformed American culture and its future on our warming planet. But first, housing and food insecurity are realities that many Vermonters, too many, know all too well. A new documentary feature film by the acclaimed local filmmaker Bess O'Brien follows a handful of people who are in the state's motel housing program. The film is called Just Getting By. Starting tomorrow, this film is touring Vermont through April 12th. And I should note that Vermont Public is a media sponsor of that tour. Bess O'Brien has made numerous other films, including The Hungry Heart, about drug addiction and recovery in Vermont. We're honored to have her on our show today. Bess, welcome.
Hello, Michaela. I am getting over a cold, so I have a bit of a scratchy Lauren Bacall thing going on here.
I like it. It adds some je ne sais quoi to the conversation. Well, we're so glad to have you here, and congratulations on this film. It's deeply, deeply moving. I'm looking forward to talking about it today.
Thank you.
Bess, the subject of this film, housing, food insecurity, in large part the motel housing program, it feels so timely to this exact moment that we're in. But of course, these have been issues that Vermonters have been facing for years now. When did you first start thinking about making a film on this subject?
About 2 years ago, I heard the statistic, or maybe it was a year and a half ago, that 40% of Vermonters are food insecure. And that really sort of astounded me and piqued my interest. I've always been sort of wanting to spend more time with working people who every day go out, sometimes work two or three jobs, and who are, you know, just getting by, who are paycheck to paycheck. And so the idea of food insecurity sort of opened that door into that world for me. And then once we started sort of focusing on that, it was clear that housing insecurity was also a huge issue for many of the people who were dealing with food insecurity. And then we started spending some time with some of the folks who were in the motel program. And it just sort of blossomed, you know, the whole film just sort of moved forward in that direction. I mean, I think that if you're food insecure, you're probably housing insecure. And if you're housing insecure, you're probably food insecure. These are people who are, you know, just every day trying to scrape it together to get enough food on the table for their families, and to keep their housing in place, or to are constantly searching for housing that is appropriate for them. Mm.
Now, one of the themes that your film takes on is the stigma that people with housing insecurity and food insecurity face. And I want to play a clip here from the film. It's at Martha's Community Kitchen in St. Albans. And we jump in here when volunteers are busy preparing a meal. We'll hear first from a volunteer named Granny, and then the head of the organization, followed by a woman who is there to get a meal. Let's take a listen.
We don't know their story. It could be a hundred reasons why these guys are here.
Granny, this one's yours.
Okay, thank you, Carol.
Some of them, I'm sure it's the only time they're going to get a good meal. I just love to see them come through the door and sit down and chit-chat with each other. I think it just gives me a good feeling.
I'm often asked, who are the people you would see in the dining room if I come by? And I'm like, we can make a list as long as you want. We can say addicts, homeless, people with mental health. We could say seniors. We can do all that. But I'm going to tell you, who you see in here, you're going to see someone's mother, someone's father, grandfather, grandmother, grandson, your neighbor. These are the people in our community.
And then right after that, a woman goes on to talk about how many people often assume that she, you know, is living with specific circumstances. She's a drug addict. She's a junkie. And she says, you know, people assume a lot of things about me, about us. Can you talk a bit more about the types of stigma that people brought up to you when you were making this film?
Yeah, well, I mean, part of what I wanted to do with this film was to show the diversity among people who struggle with these issues. I think many times we have a stereotype in our head of who is somebody who is homeless or who is somebody who is food insecure. And in my film, for instance, we have, you know, everyone from literally people who are living in a tent to folks who are living in the hotel to people who have a family of five who are living in a two-bedroom apartment to people who have worked their entire life. I have a nurse in the film who's worked her entire life, and she's living on Social Security and can barely pay her bills and has to go to the local food shelf at the end of the month to get enough food to get her through. You know, she doesn't have enough money to pay for her food. And so part of what I'm hoping to do in the film is to open up this world to audiences that we often see as invisible, or we, you know, we pass by someplace like Martha's Kitchen and sort of look in the window and we wonder what that is. Oh, is that a soup kitchen? What is that? Who are those people in there? And humanize these people and create a sense of humanity every day in their lives as they struggle to make a life for themselves. So as a filmmaker, I mean, I often think of myself as sort of an anthropologist, and I love that because I want to put myself into places where I don't usually go, meet people that I don't usually meet and hang out with them and hear their stories and get to know them. And when you do that, man, I mean, these are incredible people. These are people with courage and dignity and people who persevere through the hardest times, who many of them work, as I said, 2 to 3 jobs. Many of them are looking for jobs or looking for housing. These are not most of the people, many, many of the people that I am in contact with in this film are people who just want a decent life. They're not looking for $1 million, but they want a decent place to live and they want enough food for their family. And so that's, I hope, what comes across in the film is a sense of connection to these folks. Because these are our neighbors. These are the people that we pass on the street. These are the people who are serving us our dinner every night when we go to the local diner or stop by and get our gas at the local gas station. There are neighbors here in Vermont, and we need to respect and understand what they're going through. Mm.
Well, one of the things that I loved about the film was that you included you know, interspersed with these really difficult, gut-wrenching conversations with your subject, moments where you showed, you know, this is just a person who has their own life and interests and finds joy in things. There was one couple that, you know, you talked to briefly as they bought some Halloween decorations for their apartment. One of them is obsessed with Halloween. Another person living in a motel, Colby, who we've actually had on Vermont Edition in the past, showed you her art that she makes, this really like rainbow-filled pieces of art and stained glass. It was really lovely to see those interspersed throughout the film. You also have many, many very tender moments included in the film, very private shots, people eating dinner with their kids or, you know, crying as they try to figure out how to get through paperwork. How did you get people to trust you and allow you to film in moments like those?
Yeah, people ask me that a lot. I mean, first of all, the process for me with films is there's a couple of steps. The first step usually is reaching out to local nonprofits or grassroots organizations or activists who are working on the ground with people in these situations. And so I will contact them and I'll say, look, I'm making a film about food and housing insecurity. Who do you think would be an interesting person to talk to? And they might say, oh, gosh, you know, you got to talk to Joe. He's amazing. I've been working with him for 2 years. They'll give me Joe's email. I'll email Joe and Joe and I will set up a time to meet. And, you know, I'll go to his house and we'll sit down. And yes, in that moment, you know, I'm a stranger. He's a stranger. We haven't met each other. But certainly by the time I get there, Joe has decided that he wants to tell his story. And so he's ready to go. It's rare that you sort of show up and, you know, people don't want to talk. Obviously, as a filmmaker, documentary filmmaker, you would need to go into these situations with absolutely no judgment whatsoever. You need to totally be there to listen. I love it. The shooting part of the film is my favorite part. I love meeting all these people. I do usually an hour and a half interview with folks. So that's one way I find people for my films. The other way is I just go and hang out places. So, for instance, somebody told me about Martha's Kitchen in St. Albans, which is this wonderful place where you can get breakfast and lunch 7 days a week. Anybody can walk in there. I can walk in there. You can walk in there. A homeless person can walk in there. It's good food. It's healthy food. The people are very gracious. And so they were very patient with us and let us come and hang out there 3 or 4 times over the 8 months that we were shooting. And we just hung out with our camera and asked people if they'd like to chit-chat with us and talk to us about why they're there. And, you know, some people say, no, I'm not interested. But most people were willing to talk to us. And so we got a lot of wonderful moments and bits of terrific conversation in a place like Martha's Kitchen. We also went and just hung out at a couple of hotels. And we were very lucky, for instance, to meet Colby in Berlin, who sort of let us follow her over the 8 months. Also, Alicia and her family in St. Johnsbury. I mean, literally, she was just hanging out in the parking lot on a warm September day. And my cinematographer and I went and started to talk to her and said, we're making this movie. And she said, yeah, come on in, meet my kids. And before you know it, we were doing an interview and she was like, come back anytime. And so we followed her. You know, I often say that to me, people want to tell their stories. It's just that we don't ask them. I mean, we want to know every single detail about Beyonce, and I love Beyonce. She's awesome. Or Taylor Swift, groovy. But, you know, we don't really take the time to talk to people who live right around the corner from us or in our own state or who are struggling and doing things every day to keep themselves focused and alive and their families healthy and struggling with issues that we may not fully know about or engage with. And so for me, it's just asking the question, you know, tell me about yourself. And I often find that once you ask that question, people want to tell you, they want to share. And I think they also feel like, well, maybe if I share my story, maybe this will make a change. Maybe it'll help somebody else. It's empowering to tell your story.
Bess, we got an email for you from a listener named Elijah who writes, when I was principal at Randolph Union, we collaborated to bring The Hungry Heart for a show in your previous film. And you were also a special guest for a documentary film class I was co-teaching about struggles that youth experience in the community. It was powerful to have you involved. Do you have any plans to connect to schools with this film?
Yeah, well, thanks. I remember those workshops. Those were great. Sure. I mean, I've already gotten a couple of requests since the tour I'm about to launch this statewide tour. I've gotten some requests from schools to show the film, and also some both Middlebury College and Dartmouth College have contacted me to show the film there. I mean, I think that these issues are all around us, and they're in the news. I don't need to tell you, Michaela. You know, certainly the housing crisis right now. As you know, Vermont has the second highest homelessness rate in the entire country besides California per capita. That is a big statistic. And so we are trying to deal with these very big issues. And I think anybody, whether it's a high school student, a college student, or, you know, your neighbor or whoever should come in. Hopefully what we want is people to come see the film and to have a conversation afterwards, a Q&A with myself and people from the movie and local organizers who work with these issues every day. So coming to the film is not only hopefully to educate yourself and for me to help raise consciousness across the state about these issues, but also to have a conversation after the film with your community about how we can make these issues more relevant and focused in our own community, and how we make people aware that this is happening. Because I think sometimes we often think, oh, it's only happening in Burlington or it's only happening here. But actually, these issues are everywhere across the state.
Question for you. So you had to stop filming at some point, even though this crisis around housing and food insecurity is ongoing. I mean, just less than a week ago, there were hundreds of Vermonters who had to leave their hotel and motel rooms when Vermont's cold weather shelter program ended. And, you know, there's yet another stopgap to allow many of them to remain in their rooms now until the end of June. But the whole cycle, it feels cyclical. It's this ongoing cycle that, you know, many of us are well aware of. How did you know when it was time to, you know, to stop and start putting this film together?
Well, probably when I had 95 hours worth of footage and I was like, I have to stop. I can't shoot anymore. For me, this we could have kept going and going and going, because you're absolutely right. At some level, the film is already, you know, semi out of date, because at the end of the film, we say that the legislature had passed a bill to keep the hotels open until April 15th, 2024, and that has changed already. But the point is, it doesn't even matter, because the point is that you see in the movie and what you're seeing now is that this is a continual sort of circular round and around we go with these hotels. People who have been living in these hotels for the last 2 or 3 years have had many, many deadlines that have come and gone or have been changed, and it's very stressful for people to not know where they're going to be in 3 months, or maybe they will be there, but they don't know, so they can't really plan. So the answer to your question is that as a filmmaker, you know, I only have a certain amount of money, I only have a certain amount of time. And when you get to the point of 95 hours of footage and you have to make an hour and a half documentary, that's a big feat. We were editing all last summer, my editor Patrick Kennedy and I, and into the fall, and it was a lot to put together. Frankly, I could have made 2 different movies out of this, one on food and one on housing. But I bit off a lot, and I had to, you know, really take the time to try to meld these 2 issues together and create an arc to the film. And it was challenging. I mean, Patrick and I worked really hard. We probably did 24 cuts of the film by the time we were done.
Filmmaker Bess O'Brien has a new documentary called Just Getting By. Bess, it is hitting the road, going to everywhere from Burlington to St. Albans, Middlebury, Brattleboro, Montpelier, many other stops tomorrow through April 12th. Tell folks briefly, before we have to let you go, where people can find out information on where it's screening.
Yeah, well, tomorrow is the premiere of the film. It's going to be in Burlington at the Main Street Landing. Friday, March 22nd and 23rd are the two big nights in Burlington, both at the Main Street Landing. They're at 7 o'clock. Tickets at the door. I know there's going to be a little snow, but we're all Vermonters, so come on out. Get your coats back on and come see the movie. And then from there, those two nights launch a tour across the state, and you can learn more by going to kingdomcounty.com and learn kingdomcounty.org, sorry, and all the dates are there. And spread the word. I mean, as I said, this is a chance for communities to come together, to watch the film, to talk about these issues, to find out what their local communities are doing, and to maybe walk out with an idea or something that you can do to help these issues in your own town or city. Mm. Yeah, I mean, we want to start a statewide conversation. We want to raise consciousness. We've asked a lot of legislators to come to their local screenings, to be there, to be part of the conversation. We hope they come. I hope to see you at the movies.
Well, Bess, thank you so much for your time. And again, congratulations on this new film.
Thanks, Michaela. You are the best.
Right back at you.